I have a dear, dear friend, probably one of my dearest. She's my prayer girl with me tonight. I love the other girls that have been up here this week for sure. But Meg is just, she is the real deal and is real and honest about the frailties that she's had, the life that she's lived, how she was brought up, and has allowed God to use her in a mighty way, in a very behind the scenes way. You don't have, and let me, I'm gonna throw that in, because you don't have to be on the stage, do you, Meg, to make a difference in the kingdom of God. And so, Meg, I'm gonna ask you to come up with your wonderful phrase, frailties aren't frail to God, and join me up here. And I wanted us to just, I've got a couple scriptures that I want us to talk through and let you share your story. So tell everybody, hey.
That was good. Hey, everybody.
Hold that up there.
That was good teaching, wasn't it?
Thanks,
Meg. You were shucking the corn, Wendy.
That's why I love her. She uses words like shucking the corn and don't yank the ears on a dog. In fact, that is scriptural. I did not know that, but there's a Proverbs in there that says, what is it?
Not to take a dog by its ears.
That's exactly right.
Or not to meddle in another man's affairs, just like taking a dog by its ears.
She's full of wisdom. Mm-hmm. Full of wisdom. Shucking the corn. I'm going to use that one. Okay, so Meg, what the truth here about how God responds to our lack. That's what I want us to kind of go through these scriptures. God, this is 1 Corinthians, by the way, 1:27. But God shows what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chooses what is weak in the world to shame the strong. Mm. So talk to us about how you grew up, how you felt weak in what area and how that shaped you.
Well, you know, when I worked over there with y'all at Proverbs, I think everyone over there had an education. Mm-hmm. But me, I didn't even have a elementary and high school education like everybody. So,
explain how that happened.
Well, I grew up in a church that,
if you can.
Yeah, I'm going to be gentle because,
right, yes,
I want those people to know Jesus.
Right.
I want them to know his love. They took the kids out of school when my oldest brother, he was about to go into kindergarten, and he's 2 years older than me or 3 years older than me. So they took all the kids out of school. This preacher they had at the time was, it seemed like every Sunday he had a new rule for the church.
Mm-hmm.
And so my mom had 7 kids, 1 year apart, and there was no way she had she was physically sick, but she also, my mom has some mental issues. I think she would probably tell you that, so I wouldn't be ashamed to say, for her to hear that.
Yeah.
And she just wasn't capable of teaching us. Mm-hmm. One day we might do school, and the next day we might clean the house.
Mm-hmm.
It was just the way our life was.
Mm-hmm.
So the education I got, basically, I taught myself. So I would say that I didn't really have anything other than a 5th grade education by the time I was 18 years old and I went to work.
And then what did you do with that, with a 5th grade education? How did you, because you've had some really good jobs.
Right, that's all God.
Exactly.
It would all be him.
Mm-hmm.
I had nothing to do with it.
Because you're a whiz at numbers.
Well, I love math, so... And if I'd have had someone,
and you
that,
probably didn't go past regrouping, which is like Common Core. That's a Common Core cuss word right now, is regrouping.
No,
all those homeschool. No. If you're homeschooling for the first time, our prayers are with you teaching that Common Core for sure.
Yeah.
But how did you navigate all?
Well,
of that?
I guess with my personality, I went to work at a little restaurant in our community, and with my personality, I kind of excelled there. But I was on the grill. I was not. At the window. I didn't want to work the window. It's one of those little restaurants that had the little slide open window. Mm-hmm. And you took the order. So I told them I wanted to cook. So I love to cook, and I've been cooking since I started when I was 6.
Right.
I pulled a chair up to the stove and just went at it. Mama
but
let
you
me.
Didn't,
so.
You didn't make your career at cooking. What did
no.
you do? What, how did you, because the world would say you are weak, but God,
right.
No, you were not weak.
Well, I did that for a while, and then, you know, I for some reason, I always wanted to work in an office. I don't know. We had people that would come and get their lunch order.
I always wanted
orders.
An office job, too.
Are we crazy?
I don't,
like,
yeah, I think
I'm
we
done
are.
With that. I'm over it. I did that way too long. But when people would come get their lunch orders and go back to their office, mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, we don't get a lunch break here. We're feeding all the people. I think I want me an office job mm-hmm. so I can take a lunch break.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I just, our family had a landscaping business, and I did do their billing and payroll and stuff like that. I was just winging it, basically.
And you figured it all out.
Yeah, and then when my kids went to, I got married, my kids went to school, and I wanted, they were ready to go to school, and I wanted them to go to private school because of the way I grew up. We were brainwashed totally on public school and don't, you know.
Yeah.
So my husband said, well, I went to public school. It was good enough for me. It's good enough for our kids. If you don't want them to go to public school, then you're going to have to get a job because I can't pay for everything because I didn't work at the time. So that's what I did. My best friend was a builder, and he had just started a new business of selling brick and block. And so he hired me as his secretary or bookkeeper or whatever.
But what amazes me about this whole, what you're saying, is you've worked your way up mm-hmm. and you... The world would call you weak. The world would say, you know, that you couldn't accomplish anything. But you weren't saved at the time.
Right.
This is what is amazing to me right. about Meg's story, is Meg was not saved until when?
I had been married 10 years.
So.
When I got saved.
Yes. So this was
probably when I went to work there, I was 7 years maybe into,
mm-hmm.
maybe five years into the marriage, I guess. So 5 more years before I got saved.
And that would be a lesson for another day on her whole story of submission and marriage and
oh, wow.
what God has done. Because
that's as radical as my salvation.
Yes, as she and Jimmy were, neither one were saved when they got married. Mm-hmm. So you started working as doing somebody's books, which mm-hmm. you did not, like I said, fifth grade maybe.
No education on that, just
exactly.
kind of winging it again.
Learning.
Yeah.
Because God, there was something in you.
Yeah, and well, the guys...
There was an equipping in you that you weren't even aware of.
Right. Oh, he was just moving me along, and I didn't even know he was moving
didn't
me along.
Didn't even know it.
He was working in my life, and I had no idea. No
yes.
idea.
And that's exactly...
But he puts people in...
Yeah.
I'm sorry. He puts people in place that can get you where he wants you to be.
Absolutely.
It's not necessarily where you... It was not where I thought I was going. It was where, you know, God... I mean, and the blessings that come from God. I cannot sit up here and tell you all the blessings that mm-hmm. have came from God because of what he's done.
So take us to your office job at Proverbs. And she and I met at Proverbs 31 Ministries. I was working with Donor, mm-hmm. and Meg was came in once a month to stuff envelopes for our donor monthly letter.
Yeah, we had 50 donors at the time.
She would come in, and she was a hoot, because if you can't tell, she's a little country. And I just like to listen to her talk. There was just something endearing about, like, she talks about shucking the corn and pulling the dog's ears. There's just all kinds of sayings that come out of her mouth. She could write a book just on her sayings. But what happened with that is then led you to be the bookkeeper, the mm-hmm. official, like, mm-hmm. head money person at Proverbs.
And the way I got to Proverbs was I was pretty much over the job I was working at. I was working, the guys, they had been really good to me and mm-hmm. treated me like a sister, daughter. But I knew God, like you said, when you know God's called you into ministry, you know God's called you into ministry.
Right.
And I knew he's called me into ministry shortly after I got saved, especially after what he did with my life, with my marriage. I knew he was calling me to teach mm-hmm. other women what he had taught me. He told me that, that was what he wanted me to do with my life. So I went to She Speaks. That's how I met you, was at She Speaks.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I was in Tracy Miles, the
little small group thing.
Yeah. And group. So, and when it was over that Sunday, I asked her if y'all needed volunteers. And she said, well, you need to see Wendy Pope for that. So she brought me over there. I don't know if you remember that.
No, I don't.
I came up to the front of the stadium and she introduced us. And, You said, I'll be in touch. So I thought, she'll never be in touch with me. But she was.
Yeah.
She was.
But then the opportunity for ministry came with all of those young girls who had the education, who had the degrees that you didn't have.
Right.
What were you able to teach them about
all kind of things?
Marriage and cooking and careers and raising a family. You were able to use that and replace what had happened is over the years, those negative things that you had been telling yourself and allowed you to think you couldn't do certain things. Then God showed you, hey, this is your mission field. Right. This is your ministry. And you continue to do that now.
You have, it's better and better, Wendy.
Yes, you're surrounded by a lot of young girls.
I'm teaching more now than I was at Proverbs.
Exactly. So it's the frailties. It's the when we feel, and I've got the scripture down here I'm sure most everybody's familiar with, is 2 Corinthians 2:9, is when God says to Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Mm-hmm. And we just have to acknowledge that and ask God to use us despite or in spite of whatever cards we might say have been dealt to us, right?
Right.
And allow him to use that. And as we close, and please, I would love for you to be able to finish reading about Meg's story at the end of the chapter, because she goes into a lot more detail in the chapter and can share a lot more there. But today I was thinking about, and I'm going to turn there really quick as we are wrapping up because I'm watching the clock, where in John chapter 9, and he went along and he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents? And I know you know the story, that he was born blind. And Jesus says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus. But this happened so that the work of God might be displayed in his life. And would you say that to be true
Absolutely.
In your life? That you
Absolutely.
That's not the life that you would have chosen for yourself, not the way that you would have chosen to be. But you didn't know any different because everyone around you were raised that way. But as you were growing up, you saw, I don't have what they had.
Well, before
I
became
foundation.
A Christian, I really was resentful. Mm-hmm. And my boss man had actually offered to send me to school to UNCC to get an accounting degree.
Right.
And God put a stop to that. He was like, that is not what I have for you.
Wow, that is so interesting because you could have, and we define frailty as being able to, not being able to change it. And you had the opportunity to change it, but because you were walking with God, God said, no, I'm going to use this to display my work in your life, Meg. Mm-hmm. And so why don't we close with that thought of, let's look at our frailties through the lens of this scripture, that what if this was part of our whole story, our whole narrative from the beginning, and we looked at it as a way of, God, display your work in me, and that would be our prayer. Mm-hmm. So thanks for sharing your story, your life with me, because you know what you mean to me, and I'm just going to hug your neck. Because I can call on you night or day and you pray for me and you don't even have to know what it is. But I've given all of my guests this because you are a worthwhile possibility. Aww. So you have a devotion book and then you have our worthwhile possibility necklace. I have mine on.
I saw that. I was a little envious. Now I have one.
Now you have one. Thank and it's you. Written in Hebrew.
Oh, I love that.
Okay, so it's a conversation piece.
And
I know you do. I know you like your Hebrew and Greek. Mm-hmm. But thank you for being vulnerable to share your story, for putting it in print. It's another example of how God redeems what we think is broken or not usable in our story. Mm-hmm. I've just been learning in the last year that redemption didn't start and end at Calvary, that he redeemed our lives there, but he redeems our story every single day. Let's close out in prayer. Father God, we are so in love with you and what you did for us on the cross is beyond words. And the fact that you would choose to go beyond the cross and to make us part of the narrative of someone else's life is astounding. It's astounding to me that I could be part of somebody's story because of frailties and weaknesses in my life. I just don't even understand that. So Lord, tonight we just collectively come to you and our hearts are joined together and just confessing that we have not surrendered our lives the way that we should have. That we have believed the lies that our frailties are frail to you, but they are not. That you take our frailties, you take our lacks, you take all of our excuses that we give, and you redeem them. And you will use them for our good and for your glory if we will allow you. So I pray for every person that's listening, whether it's right now or they're listening 2 or 3 days or even a month from now, Holy Spirit, that you will meet each individual right in the place where they are sitting and that you will minister to their heart and remind them that you are a good, good Father, that they have potential and they are a worthwhile possibility, and that God has a plan for them that is good, that was created long before time ever began, and that it is a good, good plan, and that they are his masterpiece. Would you do that for us, Holy Spirit? Minister to the hearts of everyone listening to this message. Thank you for this church. Thank you for those that are here in this sanctuary that are making this possible for tonight. And we continue, Lord, to lift up our nation and lift up our leaders. And I pray, Lord, for the church to be the church so that others would be drawn to you through this time in our country. And I ask all of this in the name of Jesus, the powerful, powerful, redeeming name of Jesus. Amen.